end of Sif Lamed Vav and Simen Lamed Beis. That's on page Nun Beis. And where it's the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Kuf Samech Gimel. We have it's turn it, 2 pages from when Lamed Vav starts. Page Nun Beis, and it's Sif Lamed Vav, and at the end over here, Sif Katan Kuf Samech Gimel. And we're discussing the parshas of the tefillin that just like the Sefer Torah, the parshas, the first three are psuchos and the last one is sasim, parshas tuma. So when the tefillin also, they have to be lechatchila. The first three have to be psuchos and the last one has to be stuma. And what we're up to now is how to make it a parsha. We mentioned last night in the last shiur that a parsha means a paragraph. It means that there's a space between this paragraph and the previous one. There's just two different ways of making the space. There's a psucha space and there's a stuma space. There has to be a space. Now, we mentioned it, that it's the space of 9 letters. And we'll see now in the Mishnah Berurah, there's a machlokas, if it has to be the word asher, three times with the space in between it, which I saw today that the Pesukim seem to assume, Rav Wozner seemed to assume that each letter, normally when a sofer would write an aleph or a shin or a resh, that would be like the equivalent of 3 yud. So if he's writing the word asher, so the 3 words asher is already 3 times 7 you have over there, 21 letters, and then the space in between, so there's another 2 spaces, so it should be the equivalent of did my question no good? Asher. If you have 3, I'm sorry, 9 times, I'm sorry, 27, yeah, thank you. 27. 20 should be 27, and then the space in between should be another 2, 29. Okay, I'm not sure why. Rav Wozner said 24. Yeah, if we write the word Asher 3 times, and each letter of Asher is 3 letters, so it's 9, each Asher is going to be 9 letters, let's assume, and then the 9 times 3 is 27, and then the space in between is 29, so it's much, much more space than if you just write 9 yuds. That's the machlokas. Let's see that inside the Mishnah Berurah. He's going to pass in the chatchila, you need 3 times the word asher, and then the d'yevet, it's good enough, the 9 oisiyos katana is just 9 yuds. Kaz v'achreinim, the lechatchila tzarech laniya kedei gimel teivos asher, that lechatchila we need to leave a space of 3 words asher, an aleph shin reish. Okay, in tzarech laniya gam kein revach moloi beis oisiyos katanois, milvad hates oisiyos. Aside from those 9 letters, we need another 2 spaces for the word, because we're making the word asher a space, the word asher a space, and then the word asher. So there's 2 spaces, and like we learned last night, that lechatchilon, there should be a space of a yud between every word in the tefillin, or in the Sefer Torah. So when we have the 3 words asher, there's going to be 2 spaces, so there'll be be'erech, the equivalent of 29 yuds, be'erech. So that's Novara says Oizyois, Naha Bein Teva Teva Tarech Laniach Moi Oiz Katana, because every time you write a word, you have to leave a space of Yud. But the Avid, that's what Chanchila, so that's a nice big space. But the Avid, Yez La'akel Kishimaniach Rakamole Tes Oizyois Katana, Nine Yud. But the Avid, it's enough just to have 9 Yud. So if you're a big difference between the Chanchila and the B'di'Avid, Al Kapan, it's more than double, really. And it's really 3 times, more than 3 times it comes out. So it's all kaponim. That's a big space. L'chatchila should be the space of 9 oisiyos gedoyleis, and b'diavad is 9 oisiyos katanis. U'chmashmois, ha'shulchan aruch kan. The shulchan aruch here, I guess since he doesn't differentiate, he just says that there should be a space of 9 letters, we're going to assume that means 9 small letters. So the shulchan aruch itself, it seems like that's enough. But the place can say, L'chatchila, it should be the 3 times Asher. Kasa per Megadim, the Mishair and Arevach shall tez Oizya is kafi Oizya Iksav. That we determine the size of the letters that we have to make the space based on the Ksav that he's using, on his handwriting. So if he has a small Ksav, then it could be a smaller space. If he has a large ksav, it has to be a larger space. V'kol ha'shir hazeh hu bein l'psucha or l'stuma. And this shir of the Tes Aizios is the same whether it's a parsha that's psucha or a parsha that is stuma. The stuma and the psucha is only where you put the space, but the actual size of the space is going to be the same whether it's a psucha or a stuma. Okay, so now the last point that we're up to here in the Mishnah Berurah, and this is when we get down to really the nitty gritty, the halacha lemaise, is that last parsha. We said the first three parshas are really not such a problem to make it like the Rambam and like the Rush. Let's just remind ourselves for a second what the Rambam and the Rush hold. We said last night that the Rush defines, the Machlokas had to define a parsha psucha and stuma. The Rush defines a parsha psucha as any parsha that has an indentation of these nine letters, either at the beginning of the parsha or at the end of the previous parsha, there's a space of nine letters, and then you can start this parsha, at the beginning of the line. That's psucha according to the Rosh, and the stuma the Rosh holds that there's no indentation whatsoever. Either there's a space, imam is in the middle between the parshas, and he starts the next parsha on the same line as the last parsha, or if there's no room for that, then he just skips the whole line. But al kapadim, there's no indentations. It'll be straight on the side. So that's the parsha stuma according to the Rosh. Now the Rambam agrees to the first definition of a psucha according to the Rosh. Because the Rambam says that it's called psucha if it starts at the beginning of the line, and it's called stuma if it starts in the middle of the line. That's the Rambam in a nutshell. If it's at the beginning of the line, it's psucha. If it's at the end of the line, it's a stuma. So the first case of the Rush is psucha would also be a psucha according to the Rambam, right? If we have a space at the end of the previous line of nine oisiyos, and we start the next paragraph at the beginning of the line, so according to the Rosh, it's psucha because you have an indentation at the end of the last parsha. And according to the Rambam, it's a psucha because you're starting at the beginning of the line. So that's no problem. We can do that for the first three parshas, and everybody will agree, and it's shalom aleichem. The problem is when we get to the last parsha, you have to make a stuma. So according to the Rosh, the only way to make a stuma is either to start the next parsha on the same line, which we can't do by tefillin because we have to have the next parsha in a separate column. So you can't do that stuma. So the only other stuma, according to the Rosh, is if we skip a line. So the problem is if you skip a line and you start at the beginning of the next line, that's a classic psucha, according to the Rambam. So if you're going to try to make that stuma of the Rosh, you're going to end up with a psucha of the Rambam. So they won't agree to that. Elamai, you're going to make the Rambam stuma. Lamashal, the Rambam says that if he'll make an indentation at the beginning of the line of nine oisiyos, so then he'll be able to have a parsha stuma starting in the middle of the line, right? So I got news for you. That's a psuk according to the Rosh. Because the Rosh says an indentation, a parsha starts with an opening at the beginning. That's called psuk. So the Rosh's stuma is a psuk according to the Rambam. The Rambam's stuma is a psuk according to the Rosh. We're stuck. You can't be yaitse everybody. That's the problem. So the Mechaber suggests, because and we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, in Yari Deya, Mikra Din, we paskin like the Rambam. So the Shulchan Aruch says, he suggests, and he says that was the minig, was to make the last parsha stuma according to the Rambam, because that's Mikra Din, that's how we paskin, is like the Rambam. So we'll make a space of nine letters, and we'll start in the middle of the line, and even though it's according to the Rosh, but we're just going to have to live with it because there's no way to make it according to everybody. And self, we have Yesh Makshir, and the Shulchan Aruch himself says if you change from a stuma to a psuka, it's possible. But the Ramah paskin that it's kasher b'di'avid, and the Mishnah Berurah says that's how we paskin also. So and at the end of the day, it's not the end of the world that it's a psuka according to the Rosh. First of all, it's stuma according to the Rambam. And even though it's psukah according to the Rosh, but the Yavid, a psukah is also kasher, since they're not written next to each other in the Sefer. So we're doing okay. Yeah, I see you're making, we're doing okay. Very good. So let's see now the Mishnah Berurah inside. He's going to tell us this chesed. Stuma l'dasa, we're at Kufsa Magdalad, stuma l'dasa Rambam. We're going a stuma, a parsha stuma according to the Rambam, that will leave space at the beginning of the line, and will start in the middle of the line. The avdil l'dasa Rosh, he psukah. Even though according to the Rosh, that's now a parsha psukah, because you have an indentation, you have an opening before this parsha. Mikol Malkom Anu Eisenka. Even still, that's what we do. Ki Yeshar Lasez Vitzilin Sura Stuma Sheitze Ba Liba De Kuli Alma. Listen, you can't make a Stuma that you're Yaitze with everybody. Ki Stuma Sha'anu Neyagin Lasez the Sefer Torah. The Stuma that we do in a Sefer Torah, in the Sefer Torah in Yeridea, it says that we try to do like everybody. So a Sefer can plan his handwriting in such a way that he can end the previous parsha with enough room to leave a space of 9 letters, and then write at least one word from the next parsha, and then you have a stuma according to everybody. That's great. The problem is we can't do that without Shon. So he says, "Dainu shemesayim a parsha shelofaneha be'emtze shita." He'll finish the previous parsha in the middle of the line. Amavze kedei tazayti. So leave a space of 9 letters. And then he'll start the next parsha, Gam Kain Bo Yisashit, on the same line. Vini Krei Stuma Libet Kuli Alma. Everybody agrees that that's called a Stuma, and that would be terrific. What we do in the Sefer Torah would be terrific in the Tefillin. The Stuma Milafanao Milakarao, it's closed. There's writing on both sides of the space. And with a space in the middle of the world, in the middle of the line, so it's called Sustum. The parsha is Sustum. You have writing on either side of the space. Fine. So that would be terrific. But the problem is the Evshar Lasayis Apoy Betfilin. You can't do it with Tefillin. Why not? Because Parsha Hu Ba'amudaka. Because each Parsha is on a separate Amud. We're talking about the Tefillin Shel Yad, and you have each Parsha of Kadesh, Vayakiviyach, Shema, and Im Shemaya. Each one is in a separate column. So Mimela, it's not Shayach to put the end of Parsha Shema on the same line as the beginning of Parshas Vayayim Shemaya. So we're stuck. We don't have that Eitzah to do the Stuma that we would do in the Sefer Torah to be Yaitzah to everybody. V'chein, also, to make the Stuma of the Rush is not an Eitzah, Im Yirtzah Laniach Shita Achas, so we'll just skip a whole line, Chalak, B'tchilas Parsha, at the beginning of the Parshas Vayayim Shemaya, U'lachila B'rei Shita Shni, and then you'll start at the beginning of the next line, which would be called a stuma according to the Rush. Zel gamkein einena stuma l'chuli alma. It's not a stuma according to everybody. Be rak l'rush. According to the Rush, that's called a stuma again because there's no indentation. The lines are completely filled out on either side, and the space is in between, not in the middle of the line like the stuma everybody agrees on, but the whole line is empty. That's also called a stuma according to the Rush. Problem is, that's the psuk according to the Rambam, because since you're starting the beginning of the line, it's a psuk. Below the Rambam, it's not a stuma according to the Rambam. To the DJ, he psuk. It's psuk. So we're stuck. We can't make a stuma that's according to everybody. The cave in Chi'ev Sharlat says a stuma l'divrei hakol, since it's not possible to make a stuma that everybody could agree on, naguka Rambam. So the minig, that's the Mechaber is telling us, the minig was to make like the Rambam. Now why did we pick? We could have made a stuma according to the Rush and a psuk according to the Rambam. Why did we Davka pick stuma of the Rambam? Well, if you shekain ikr, off the Sefer Torah. Even by a Sefer Torah, the Mechaber says that Yuri Shemayim should try to make it according to everybody. And there the Raman in Shulchan Aruch says that, yeah, but if you can't, if you ran out of room and there's no way to make to fit 9 letters and the beginning of the next parsha on the same line, so the Rama says you do like the Rambam, you make it like the Rambam. So you see that Meker didn't we pass like the Rambam. So Mimela, that's over here also. If you have to have a choice between the Stuma of the Rambam or the Stuma of the Rush, so we're going to do the Stuma of the Rambam. Yeah. So off the Sefer Torah, Im Yavshar Lazos the Divrei Hakol Kamoshikaz the Yerideya B'Simon Ayin Reishay. Period. Very good. So that's the Pshat and the Mechaber, and that's a very good Mahalik, because you have at least the Rambam, and then Vidyavid, even if it's Psuk according to the Rush, well, now you say, that's also not the end of the world, it's Kasher Vidyavid. Now, period. The Taz, Tainas, that there's another Eitzah. There's a way to make a Stuma according to everybody. How is that? There was one more Stuma that the Rambam said. The Rambam said like this. He said that there are three ways to make a stuma. If he ends the parsha on let's say the beginning of the line, yeah. So then he can make a space of 9 letters, and then he can start the next parsha on the same line. Great, that's a similar, like we said, according to everybody. If he doesn't have so much room, says the Rambam, let's say he doesn't have enough room to write the next word for the next one word for the next parsha and have nine letters of space. So says the Rambam, so he'll just leave a space on the end over there. It'll be less than nine letters, whatever it is. He'll leave a space over there, and then he'll make a little bit of a space. Rambam says a ma'at. He'll maniak ma'at kalak. He'll leave a little bit of space at the beginning of the next line. And they'll start from there, in the middle. So in the middle, that's called a stuma. If you start a parsha in the middle, called a stuma. And then the Rambam has a third case, which is that if Imam is finished at the end of the previous line, so there's no space at all from the top, so then you have to have the whole space has to be at the beginning of this line, nine letters, and then you'll go from there. So Taz says that it's muchach. You see from the Rambam that this middle case, we have to be, we're being mitzaref, we're joining together the space at the end of the previous line and the space at the beginning of this line. Fine, that's the Rambam. The Rambam says that clearly. That's also called stuma. So we could do that also. We'll do a little bit of room at the end of Parshas Shema, and then we'll do a little bit of space at the beginning of Parshas Vayayim Shema. It would also be called a stuma. We don't have to make a big indentation of nine letters. Now, what would we gain by doing such a stuma? So the Taz says that we gain a Mor Dekazak with this. That now, it's not a psukha according to the Rosh. Not a psukha. Why is it not a psukha? The Rosh says you need an indentation. A parsha has to be open somehow. What makes it open? An indentation. An indentation of nine letters at the end of the previous line, and you can start at the beginning. Or an indentation of nine letters on this line, and then you go from there, from the space. There's a parsha, a space that opens, that's open, that leads up into this parsha. So now, if we're not going to make such a big space at the beginning of the line, we'll make less than nine letters. So it's not psukha anymore, according to the Rosh. And then the Rosh will also agree that you can be mitzaref, the beginning of this line and the end of that line, and together it's a parsha, it's open, they have the space of nine letters. But it's not called psukha because it's not, there's no big space. It's not a big indentation. It's not an indentation of nine letters. So Taz Taina is that the Rosh would agree to this picture of the Rambam that's called a stuma, and therefore that would also be kasher, and it's a great etza because now you can be etza according to everybody. That's definitely better to do, right? Fine. Let's see that inside the Mishnah Berurah. The Taz Himsi etza. He found a new eitza lasos stuma to make a stuma yaitse aliba de kuli alma, that you can be yaitse according to everybody, and that we like shalom yisrael, everybody's happy that you can be yaitse the Rambam and the Rosh. That's the chachila. The hainu sheba parsha rishayna shniya, the first and second parshas yasa akol kamo shekasa b'shulchan aruch, exactly like we said in shulchan aruch. The whole issue over here was the end of Shema and the beginning of Ayayim Shemoya. Like we said, the first three parshas are no problem. We'll make them all psukha according to both the Rosh and the Rambam by starting at the beginning of the line and leaving a space of nine oisius at the end of the last parsha. So that's no problem. Rock. So the parsha Shema, when you get to the Shema, the Seifa, at the end of the Shema, Yaniach Revach, Pachos Mikadei Tes Oisius. To leave a space that's less than Tes Oisius, so we don't have psukha from the end of the previous parsha. Oisius Katanai, the small Oisius. Yeah, you need the small Oisius, because if you'll use big Oisius, even if it's less than nine, there's one Nakuda over here we have to appreciate. We just learned earlier tonight, at the beginning when we started this year, that there's two definitions of nine letters. There's the nine, there's the three words Asher, and then there's just nine letters of Yud. So now, Mishnah Berurah L'chaira is saying over here that if he's going to make a space, we want to have it less than a parsha, less than nine letters. So if he's going to make nine ashers, it's still more than nine yuds, and then it has a din of a parsha. So Mishnah Berurah L'chaira, since B'di'evid, we hold that it's called a parsha with nine yuds, you got to make it less than nine yuds. That's what he's saying. You got to make less than nine, so let's make eight yuds. So you have eight yuds space at the end of Shema. V'kein yiniach revach pachos mitas oisius katanois v'tchilas parshas v'yayim shemoyah. And then you'll make also at the beginning of Ayayim Shemaya, you'll make a space that's less than 9 Aisyas of 9 Yudin. You have, again, 8 Yudin. You have 8 at the end of the previous one and 8 at the beginning of the next one. Dal Yezeb, Ein Matas Aisyas B'makom Echad, Kimai Deitziruf, Hinikres Stumu Kliyama. You only have 9 Aisyas altogether from the end of the previous Parsha and the beginning of this Parsha, and that's called a Stumu according to everybody. That's certainly a Stumu according to the Rambam. And it'll be a Stumu according to the Rush as well. That is the Eitzah of the Taz. And that is Agav, that means that we're not going to end up with 3 times the word Asher. We're only going to be Sach HaKol. At most, we're going to have 16 letters space over here. It's not going to be anywhere near 27 or 29. But Al-Kapanim, the point is that at least B'di'avid, we have here a space of 9 letters. And it's called a Parsha Suma because it's not all together in one spot. That's clear to everybody? No, that's a Taz. That's a Chiddush of the Taz. The Kenkas of the Truvas, the Rabbeinu Menachem Azaria, that's the Ramami Pano, of Abira Gra. The Gra also holds like this. King Masma mi Prima Gadim Shagam Hu Nag La Says King. So that was Mamish, the Minig of the Prima Gadim, was to do like this Eitzah. So now that comes out that there's basically 2 Mahalchim, or really that's when we have 3. We have the Mechaber's Eitzah to make a Stuma according to the Rambam. We have now the Taz's Eitzah that maybe there's a way to be make a Stuma both like the Rambam and like the Rush. And then we had before that the Ramah said the Minig was to not bother with the whole thing. You made even the third Parsha Psucha according to the Rush. According to the Rambam and the Rush, you just put the Havayim Shemai at the beginning of the line and a Gut and Tug, and we're not going to be Moitzi Laz on the early generation. So that already the Mishnah Berurah didn't seem to be so keen on that idea because the Levush didn't like it and the Gra didn't like it. Fine. Okay, Akapanem, there's 3 Mahalchim over here. Now just Agav, let me tell you one more thing, is that the Bir Lacha over here says that the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Graz, does not like this Taz. He doesn't like the eighth of the Taz because he says that the Poiskim had a big problem. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch said that there's no way to make the Parsha Stuma that everybody would agree on. I mean, what about the Taz's idea? The Rambam says clearly there's 3 different Stumas. So, I mean, we looked at each one, we evaluated it, and it seemed the Shulchan Aruch couldn't find another case of a Stuma that everybody could agree on. So what did the Taz discover America that nobody else was able to find? What happened over here? So the Shulchan Aruch Rav finds that this is not an Eitzah according to the Rush. Okay, you have a bigger problem. We mentioned last night that to be, we have a machlokas, how to define a Parsha Stuma, a Parsha Psucha. But it has to be a Parsha. You have to have a space of 9 letters to qualify as a Parsha. So the Taz time is that the reason why the Poskim didn't breathe a word about this mamish, this discovery, was because there's no such thing according to the Rush. You can't be mistarev. You can't join the beginning of this line and the end of that line. So the pshat is you don't have 9 letters of space. You don't have 9 letters of space. I got news for you. You don't have a parsha. You don't have a parsha. You have a puzzle tshon. So now the Shulchan Aruch Rav says the Taz's Eitzah is brilliant, but it doesn't work. So you made it worse. According to the Rambam, it's a parsha stuma. But according to the Rush, it's puzzle. Whereas if you do like the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Rambam, it's kasher l'chatkila, and according to the Rush, it's kasher b'di'avad, it's kasher tefillin. Oh, so what you end up with, I'll tell you the way Rav Sternbach says it in a tshuva, is you have here a machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch with the Shulchan Aruch Rav, yeah, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch Rav, or the Taz and the Gra. What do we do? What do we do with Ma'isei? So Mishnah Berurah concludes over here with Ma'isei like this: the Dada b'di'evid, Avilim Shir Reva Kates Aisyas Gedolos Mikol Tzad Gam Ken Kasher. This is another Nakuda, which is also not so pashut. The Beis Yosef has a problem with this: is that if he leaves 9 letters at the end of the Parsha of Shema, and then he does 9 letters at the beginning of the Parsha of Ayayim Shemoya, So the Beis Yosef has a taina, maybe that's called Psucha already, since it could have technically started the Parsha of Ayim Shemoya before, he had space before, and he left it. That's called a Psucha, even though he starts in the middle of the line. So that's what Mishnah Berurah is coming to tell us. No, if you start in the middle of the line, it's Stuma. So that's good. The Rambam is Stuma, the Rashi Psucha. So that'll be the same as if we do less than 9 letters in the Parsha of the Shema, at the end of Parsha of Shema. Fine. If a person made it mamish psucha, the last part, it's also kasher b'diavad. Others did that mamish b'chadchila, that they made it psucha. That either way you do it, you have somebody to go like. So the conclusion of the Mishnah Berurah is, you have the way the Shulchan Aruch says to do a stuma like the Rambam. You have the Taz, and it could be that even the Ramah, even though other Achronim didn't like it, the Lamaisa, the Ramah said that was the Minhag. So you have different Mahalchim, and every way you go is you got somebody to rely on. It's a Mahalik. Now, for us, Lamaisa, there's a lot of discussion about it. It seems like also there's never a final conclusion. I'll tell you, the Aruch HaShulchan says that the Rov of the Seferim and most people do like the Taz. So it seems that he was a Rav. The Aruch HaShulchan was very involved in Lamaisi, the Kishailas. He says he likes the Taz. In the Aruch HaRabbeinu, he says Edis and the Chazon Ish, he once came to the stipler, the person who wrote the Aruch HaRabbeinu, and he asked him, what should I do? I should do like the Taz, I should do like the Rambam, what should I do? So the stipler says, I don't know. Go check the Chazon Ish's tefillin. So he had the Chazon Ish's tefillin. So he said like this, very interesting. He says that the Chazon Ish had parshas that he got when he was still living in Vilna, that a shliach brought from Yerushalayim to Vilna for the Chazon Ish and Reb Chaim Moizer, the Chetzadik Mavraka. And these parshas, if these are talking about Chashva mentioned, these parshas were like the Taz. Excuse me, I made a mistake. They were like the Rambam. These parshas were like the Rambam. Now, this person, he found a sefer in Eretz Yisrael that he knew the sefer that wrote these parshas for the Chazon Ish and the Chaim Moizer. And he says that this sefer always wrote parshas like the Taz, and it must be that he had instructions to write like the Rambam, because he always wrote like the Taz. And here he did like the Rambam, says Araya, that the Chazon Ish and Reb Chaim Moizer B'davka asked for parshas like the Rambam. Fine, Gevaldik. Now, the Chazon Ish had other parshas written for him when he was in Eretz Yisrael, a second parshas, and these parshas were like the Taz. So the first parshas of the Chazon Ish, which he got with Reb Chaim Moizer and Vilna from Yerushalayim, these were Rambam parshas. And the second parsha that the Chazon Ish has, he says that the Machaber, the Sefer, the Aruch HaRabbeinu, he has a copy of the parshas, and these parshas are like the Taz. Now, so what do we do? What did he wear? I don't know if he was Chayyur, he wore both of them. So now, let me tell you one more thing interesting about the Chazon Ish. Oh, so the emphasis is, the Beis Yosef says you do not have to make two pairs of tefillin because of this problem, and the Be'er Hitziv brings it down. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention it, that I noticed. Maybe in the Be'er Lachat, I didn't notice that he says anything about it. But he says you don't have to have two pairs of tefillin. The Grad of Sternbach brings down that he asked the son, Yosef Dave, the son of the Briska Rav, and the Briska Rav, he didn't know he was this way and then that way, he wasn't sure. And then Taki ended up with two pairs of tefillin. And he was Taka Masupik, the Briska Rav. Huh? If you have any spare time, you have 4 pairs. So he got 2 pairs of tefillin because of this issue. I'm not telling you now to go buy 2 pairs of tefillin. I'll come on him. I'll tell you another interesting nice thing. Sir Sternbach, it seems he also had this question, what do I do? So he asked the Chazon Ish himself. He came to the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish told him he should make like the Rambam. He should make like the Rambam. And then, if Sternbach took out, he had parshas that were done like the Taz, And the Chazanish, he looked at them and he measured them, and they were mamish exactly like the Mishnah Berurah said. They were eight oisiyos at the end of Parsha Shema, and they were eight oisiyos at the beginning of Vayim Shemayim. Mamish. So the Chazanish said like this, if everybody would do like this, it would be kosher. It would be fine. So Rav Shinbach said that he got a sense from the Chazanish, even though he told them that this would be mamish kosher, like the Taz, but he got a sense from him that he really helped, it would be better to do like the Rambam. In other words, like this, if you want to do like the Taz, you have to be very particular, meticulous, and it's a lot of room for error. Whereas if you do the Rambam, it's not really so much room for error. It seems Akopanim, Rav Shtunbach comes out, and his tshuva, Lamaise, he tells people, and he did for himself like the Rambam, and he brings down this whole thing with the Shmuz of the Brisk Rav, but he... Which means there's really no room for error. You just leave plenty of space at the end of Parsha Shema, and then you put the Vayam Shema at the beginning of the line. You're good. It's easy. It's easy to do. There's no technical issue with it. It's just that halachically, you don't have a chatzilu according to the Rosh. No. You can live with it. Anyway, Mikra didn't pass like the Rambam, and it's kasher, mimanoshek, it's kasher. The shaila is if it's as l'chatzilu as it could be. The taz is like a stickle risk. You get l'chatzilu, but it's a stickle risk that the Shulchan Aruch unfolds its puzzle, that there's a tzad its puzzle. It's not so geschmack. That's it. It could be. I mean, you see that the Chazni seemed to have a thought it was more mud. His second pair of tefillin was like the Taz. And he seemed to be Mishabeach, Rav Shtunbach's tefillin, that had like this. It says that it's risky. It could be it's not done exactly right. It's a problem. Too much space on either side. You got a problem. Now it's not much puzzle. Yeah, like this, you could play it safe. Let's do another sif. It's the easy sif over. We can squeeze it in. Let's see the Shulchan Aruch Lamed Zayin. Or habatim. Now we're talking about batim. We're done with the writing, I think, at least for a while. Or habatim tzarich liyoyz mi'or behema chay v'oyf tahirim. The skin, the hide, has to be from a behema chay v'oyf to the tohar. Afilo min nevela or treifa shalahem. It could be either nevela or treifa, but it has to be from this mean tohar. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah until now. Or abatim, buadin, or a titura, vamabarta, and kevin shemachuber, tafur babatim. The tefillin has three parts. There's the bias itself, and then there's the titura, yes, the gate, that covers it. And then there's the mabarta, is the part where the ritua goes, through. Yeah, they have the bias, and the titura, and then the mabarta. Yeah? Okay. So all three parts have to be made from the hide of an animal that's tohor. You want to know if you can combine from different ones? I don't know. Interesting question. Kuf samech vav, tahirim, they have to be tahirim. Dichsiv, it says in the pasuk, l'mantia teret Hashem b'ficha, mina mutter b'ficha. So we learn it has to be something you could eat. So it has to be kasher. Mekaven de oishin shehu meromez al shem shakai nikmat borat filin hu bechal teres Hashem. This is called part of Hashem's Torah. The shin is a remez to the shem shakai, and that's folded into the bias of the shel roish. So mimela is called teres Hashem. And then once you have this din by the filin of the bias has to be from behema chayav oif that it's tahirim. So mimela doesn't make a chilek the tefillin shel roish or tefillin shel yad, even though the tefillin shel yad doesn't have a shin. Ben chilek ben shel roish shel yad. And the Mishnah Berurah holds that's a deraisa. He brings in the berlacha per megadim, holds the terabban, and he passes into the deraisa. He holds the halacha mosh mitzina. Let's go further a little. Says the mechaber further. V'rashai lasayt miklaf oy me'or shlil. That you can make the bias from a cloth, you can use klafim, meaning the parchments, these thin parchments, you could technically make a bias out of it, or shlil, or you could use the hide of an uber, of an unborn animal, also is kasher. V'hu says, agar, v'kena ritzuas, yakul asleisim, miklaf, v'or shlil. The ritzuas, you could also use those same materials as kasher. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah on this. Kofsa mezayin. Miklaf, vapol pi shudak, even though it's very thin, shapir mikri or, it's called or, that Rav Wozner was asked a shaila about holes in the bayis, especially, let's say, in the corner of the bayis. If you have, let's say, cloth or something like that, a very thin bayis, it could have a hole in it. He says there's a big machlok as he brought down mamish poskim back and forth, not pashit. And in the end, he says that if a person can have the bata made from a behemah gasa, meaning a nice thick hide, a nice thick tefillin, so then he says mamish karoi mina shamayim. It's a good thing. So mimela Baruch Hashem today, everybody has tefillin and gasa, and that's the right way to do it. Kufsam chet shlil. It's kasher if it comes from the hide of an unborn animal. The gam oiroi nikra or, it's called or. Vavo gabu nikra basar linyan tuma. The gabu the halachas of tuma and tahara, the oir has different halachas than oichel, and the shlil, since it's very soft, it's edible, so it has a din of oichel. So he says the same skin of a shlil. So he says that it's, even though it's called basar legabe the din of tuma, it's still called oir legabe the din of tefillin. And the raya is the skin of an oif, a bird, because the bird also has edible skin. And afal pikein, it's kasher for tefillin. Nikol mekom legara me'or oif. And we said you can make it from cloth, even the ritzui, and so we'll finish up here. Rakshi ashkirim, the ritzui, shkirim, halakha moish misina. Just to have to paint it black, because that's halakha moish misina.